This is Leon Draisaitl from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 CHED.
All right, so game one of the NBA Finals getting underway shortly. Heat against the Nuggets. Heat Nuggets. Sounds like a recipe. And, of course, the tiebreaker at the Memorial Cup starts in about half an hour, so we'll keep you updated on that game as well. Before we get to Luke Gazdick here, 780-496-0063, what do you have for me, Kellen?
Oh, we have recommendations here, Reed, for sure. We've got Logan, Reed's favorite professional golfer.
Yes, he is. That's true.
He says he doesn't drink much beer, but spending 4 years in Red Deer as a former RDC, RDP king, he likes the Troubled Monk Brewery's beer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do some good stuff. That's a good suggestion for sure. Yeah.
And they also do, I think, craft sodas as well, too.
That's so a good name, Troubled Monk. Troubled Monk. Could also be a horror movie or like a suspense series, Troubled Monk.
And then we'll go to Dennis or Denise on there.
It'd have to be a silent movie, though.
Yeah. hi, Reed. Great show. My preferred craft brewery is Endeavor Brewery in St. Albert. Great tasting beers and wonderful staff. That is from Dennis.
Okay. Endeavor? I hadn't even heard of that one. Endeavor in St. Albert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I usually only go to St. Albert to go to the big board game store. I'll have to check out Endeavor. All right.
Yes. Okay, and time for...
Yeah, let's do one more, then we can do more later. Yeah,
exactly. I don't normally... This is from the agreeable beaver who's texted in.
Well, thank goodness that that they're agreeable.
Yeah, the agreeable beaver, easy for me to say, says, I don't normally drink, but season tickets to the Crackered Cats just became way more appealing. There isn't a Molson product within a line drive distance. Well, first of all, it's not the Crackered Cats.
Yeah, but you've a bit of a time warp there for the agreeable beaver. They are the Riverhawks now.
He says, okay. Alley Cat is delicious. That's from the agreeable beaver.
Okay, so, good stuff. All right, 780-496-0063, your favorite Alberta craft brewery. Or your the best sports-themed TV show, or your thoughts on Ted Lasso. You can text, or you just text other stuff, too. All right, he has joined us every couple of weeks throughout the NHL season. Former Edmonton Oiler, he's now gone into broadcasting. He is presented by Avalon Foundation Repair, Western Canada's leading basement waterproofing company for over 50 years, home of the lifetime warranty. It is Luke Gazdick. Luke, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Good, Reed. How about yourself?
I am doing very well. Always a pleasure to chat with you as we move into the final series of the National Hockey League season, Florida and Vegas. I've been joking this week, Luke, it's a series that wouldn't have made sense to a 12-year-old Reed Wilkins because Florida and Vegas didn't have teams when I was a little bit. What's the NHL you remember from when you were little? Because there are probably already worse some teams in the South when you were growing up.
Yeah, no, to me, I'm thinking the same thing, too. It's kind of a bizarre final. All I remember about the Cats growing up is the fans throwing the rats on the ice. And I remember Ed Jovanovski and Ole Jokinen and all the old Panthers legends. But they were nowhere near my radar, even growing up, of teams I watched or followed. And then on the other side, I got to play in the league for 4 years and pro hockey for 11 years, and I never played in Vegas at all. So Vegas was an expansion team after I had left the NHL, and even when they had their East Coast teams and stuff, I've never played against them. So it's a bizarre final for me to take in as well.
I'm glad you mentioned the rats because I think that because I was I was already in my early 20s in 96, right? When they was it 96? Yeah, when 96 when they
met. Yeah, 94, 96.
Around there, something like that. But yeah, for people closer to your age who might have been, you know, young but old enough to understand hockey and watch an entire game, they bring up the rats, right? So now, I don't think I've ever asked you this before. When you played, and you would have, like you said, you played in the minors too, where maybe there were some traditions, or maybe there's something odd you remember, something or a tradition of throwing things on the ice, or something odd that got thrown onto. Like we know hats for hat tricks.
Oh, good question. In terms of weird things being thrown on the ice, I don't think I've seen too much, but I've also got to take part in a couple teddy bear toss games.
Right.
Going all the way back to junior, but they were a big thing in pro hockey as well. Those were always cool to be a part of. They're always nerve wracking. If you're the home team, you always wanted to score. You made sure you wanted to score. And, they were really fun though. I had a couple of those in my career and always enjoyed them.
when a guy gets a hat trick, what's it like being on the ice when the hats are coming down? And does it feel different if you're home or away?
Yeah, I never got that feeling myself.
But teammates or opponents.
I know. I wish. That's one thing I never got. I never got the prestigious hat trick in my career, a couple Gordie Howe ones. But it was always cool seeing the hats rain down, too. I think that's one of the coolest traditions in hockey. I think it's something that hockey has that doesn't extend over to other sports. And I always loved it. I always thought it was a cool thing. It's always cool to see a guy go on the board three times. But like I said, I never got to have those hats rain down for my own.
All right. Well, I know you play a lot of charity tournaments and stuff. So I hopefully there's some hat tricks coming for you there. Okay. Yeah, so let's start with the Panthers. We know the story, barely made the playoffs, all that kind of stuff. Is it one thing for them? Is it everybody clicking at the right time? What have you seen?
I think it's a good combination of what you said, of everyone clicking at the right time and everyone being on the same page. But I mean, there's a common denominator with both teams, and it's goaltending. I mean, Sergei Bobrovsky has been the best goalie in the world for their playoff run. And when you have a goalie that you know is only going to, you know, let in maybe one, two goals a game, the mental you have on that, like the mental edge you have on that alone, knowing that your goaltender is going to be there 100% every single game, I think has really helped Florida to excel on the offensive side of the puck. And similarly with Vegas, with Aiden Hill stepping in there, that's a situation no one thought was going to happen. Maybe it was going to be Jonathan Quick or Brose, who we saw in the Edmonton series, but it's goaltending, Reed. That's what it comes down to. And the Florida Panthers wouldn't be in the same spot without Bobrovsky. And I think they're clicking. I think Matt Tkachuk has proved me wrong for like the 17th time. It's not like I never thought he was a good player, but he just continues to impress me. And not just me, but I think everybody in hockey with the way he plays and how good he is in front and around the net. So between the way Tkachuk's played and the way Paul Maurice has those guys going and the goaltending, it's the perfect storm for them.
Well, I love how you talk about the confidence too, because you know I love talking about the mental side of the game. So that's I'm not saying that's number one, but that's such a huge thing. Just knowing the guy back there is under control, that he's got it under control. That just changes everything, eh?
Well, I know. And as a player, it sucks to say, but there were days, and this isn't just a single incident. There's dozens of times in my career where we're driving to the rink or I'm driving to the rink, and you don't know what performance you're going to get out of your goaltender. I've had goalies like that maybe they're going to save 45 saves and have a shutout, or they're going to let in four of their first six shots and get pulled in the first period. And it's just such a mental edge, like I said, to be driving there, to be getting ready for the rink and to look across the room at your goaltender who is fully dialed in, and you know that he's going to be lights out. And if he doesn't, that's a very rarity for your goaltender. But to just look in the room and to just be like, this guy's he's got us tonight. You see a guy going a breakaway, he's going to save it. You know, if you're on a power play, you know, don't worry, he's going to be there for us. Like that means more than anything, really.
So I guess the hypothetical is, do you think Vegas feels that way about Aiden Hill, who does not have nearly the track record Bobrovsky does? Having said that, Bobrovsky wasn't classic Bobrovsky until he came in during the first round. Or do you think Hill has totally earned that trust with his teammates, given how he's played since he came in against Edmonton?
You know, that's a good question, because I think if I was on that team, I would still be thinking about that trust a little bit, just because he's proved it, but in a very, very short window of time. But talk about a guy capitalizing on an opportunity. I played against him in the minors. He was in Tucson when I was in San Diego, and he had a couple of those games against us. I remember he had a 42 save shutout in the playoffs one night against us in the first round. And to hear his name come back full circle is cool to see. Like, there's guys that are just sitting there waiting for their opportunities, and all they need is a little window. And that's what he's doing. But if I'm a member of the Knights, I think I'm still a little nervous, because at any point, this Cinderella run could kind of just come crashing down. But I keep thinking it's going to happen. And I thought Dallas was going to win game seven, or game six, whatever it was back in Dallas, or game six. And it's a continuation of what we've seen. So it's been fun to watch as a viewer, but who knows what they're thinking.
Luke Gazdick joining us tonight at Inside Sports. You mentioned Matthew Tkachuk, who was obviously a villain with Oilers fans. It's interesting. I hear a lot of people saying I still hate him, or other people saying, you know, he's pretty darn good. I got to admit it now that he doesn't play for Calgary anymore. Look, there was the whole thing he had here with Cassian and the turtling, and then they fought, and Tkachuk wasn't great in the Battle of Alberta series last year. But man, I mean, like when he's on his game, he to me, he's a top 10 player in the league. And I wonder too, how much some of that past, and for him, a lot of past of disappointments, perhaps against the Oilers, I wonder how that has affected him, fueled him, or things he's learned from.
Oh, I'm sure he's learned from every experience. And I understand that playing in Florida as opposed to Calgary comes with a lot less pressure. I think there's a lot of pressure on him going on into the year, from the trade, and have it giving away two of your best players, one of your best defensemen, one of your best forwards for Matthew. And he had a lot of pressure on him, but playing down there and driving to the rink in your Lamborghini every day with the windows down, and you have a bad game or a bad stretch, and maybe you don't have 17 reporters in front of your face asking you the same questions. And I see a guy who just seems very relaxed, and he's just playing his game that he knows. And one thing I always love watching is the ways coaches and teammates talk about him when they get asked about him in interviews. And Barkov had a great couple quotes about him the other day about, you know, how he brings everybody together, and his leadership on and off the ice, and his attitude that he brings to the rink. And when you hear other guys, especially your captain, talk about you with such praise, you know he's making a difference. And that makes me like him even more. You heard Paul Maurice talking about how one of the first things he did when he got to Florida was take out all the training staff, you know, all, you know, Harry Langer, all those guys in Edmonton, and TD, and took all the Florida staff out. And to hear stuff like that, that makes me happy. That makes me know that there's still some of those old school guys. That's an old school mentality, taking care of everybody around you. And it's made me like him even more, I said. And he's not the prettiest skater. I laugh every time I see him back checking or something. I don't want to say he can't skate, but he doesn't have a great stride. Doesn't have a, you know, fantastic set of hands, but he just gets the job done. It's fun to watch as a former player and now a viewer, of a guy that just looks like he just gets it, you know?
Yeah. I love what you mentioned too about the training staff, because a lot of times, when you evaluate teams, you say, okay, offense, defense, power play, penalty kill, goaltending, and then sometimes there's just that column for intangibles. Well, who know, like, how do you measure the effect of, like you said, taking somebody out for dinner, texting somebody after, all those little things, right? And who knows, maybe that's something that can put a team over the top. I just double checked. You were almost 4 years old the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup. In 1993. Do you remember that at all? Canadians over Kings?
No, I don't.
Too little.
My childhood was Leafs, but the first hockey memories I can remember, I was probably playing, but I don't remember watching that much when I was that young. But then when I was, you know, starting to grow up, it was all Leafs and taking the subway down to Maple Leaf Gardens and watching games. But I don't remember the Habs winning that early, but man, to hear that stat is very sad, because truthfully, and this is the honest truth, I thought it was going to be the Leafs or the Oilers, at least in the Stanley Cup finals. And it just didn't happen. It's been a complete opposite of what I thought was going to happen. Oh, there's the dogs going.
That's okay.
I thought a Canadian team would be in there this year, and it hasn't happened.
Okay, so do you think, and I could be totally off base here, but sometimes this comes up. Now, I should also preface this by saying, until the salary cap came in, some NHL teams, including the Oilers, were just at a huge financial disadvantage, right? So it was going to be really hard to get the players, and it would truly have to be a miracle to go on a run. But you mentioned Tkachuk and the freedom he can enjoy playing in Sunrise, that there's not the scrutiny, all those kinds of things. Do you think that the hype around hockey and the attention the sport gets, does that make it harder for a Canadian team to win? Or am I giving an excuse to some of the Canadian teams who haven't won?
No, I think it is tough to win in Canada. I think I've had the pleasure of playing in, honestly, in back-to-back years in the NHL. I went from Edmonton to New Jersey, and we're talking about completely polar opposite markets. Me and Taylor Hall went there, and we just could not believe it. And it's a different lifestyle for the player. And I think it's getting harder and harder for Canadian teams to recruit players to come play up here in free agency. And that's the honest truth. Between taxes and travel and all that and all the media that comes with it, it's making a simpler choice for players not to want to come play in Canadian cities, which is a sad thing to say and to think about, but it's the honest truth.
Yeah. No, and you told that story a few weeks ago about Connor as a rookie going to West Edmonton Mall. And then, you know, you kind of said, like, yeah, are you sure you want to go? And then he was kind of like, okay, I get it. I guess I can't just go shopping like a normal person. Cause that's got to wear on you, right? Because, as you probably remember, I knew Mark Letestu going back to his junior B days. So when he came here with the Oilers, we had a bit of a pre-existing relationship. And he came in once, we did a Father's Day segment. Him and his dad came in the week leading up to Father's Day. And I said, is it hard being Mark Letestu of the Edmonton Oilers, wherever you go? And he said, well, no, because that's what I signed up for. I want to play in the NHL. But having said that, like, there's no anonymity in a city like Edmonton, Toronto. Like, pick the Canadian city. There's never a quiet afternoon out. There's never a quiet trip to the mall, right?
I know, and I love Mark, but Mark Letestu might not get as much attention as Taylor Hall or Connor McDavid. When I saw that, it was just, like I said, for me and Taylor to go out to dinner at a restaurant or a bar and sit there and just enjoy and watch sports in Newark versus, you know, Cactus Club, West Edmonton Mall was night and day. And you get it from all angles. You get it online. People knew where we lived, you know, like, it's not hard. Edmonton's not a big city. You can find stuff like that out. Everyone knows where Connor lives and where these guys live. And that's just bizarre to me even too, like that it's such a community, and I loved it. Don't get me wrong. Like, I enjoyed every minute of it. You have to be on your toes when you're in public, you're representing your team, you're representing the Oilers. When I went out, I wasn't, you know, starting trouble or causing any of that stuff, and always trying to be kind and polite and respectful. But I'll tell you this, it's not always easy to be kind and polite and respectful when you don't get that same respect your way. And for the most part, a lot of these cities, Vancouver, Edmonton, they're fine, but there are the few that make it tough. There's the few that have no filter and make it tough to just be a regular guy living in the city.
So would you or Taylor, I guess, you know, Taylor was a pretty big name. Would he get recognized in around New Jersey at all?
Barely.
Occasionally, must have.
Barely, yeah.
Okay.
I asked him that same question because I think I'd gone down to Albany for a little bit and came back up. And I said, ask me the exact same question, Reed. I said, like, so you've been getting recognized walking down the street? And he's like, honestly, man, no. Maybe like one out of every, you know, four or five times I'm out, someone will say, hey, are you Taylor Hall and the Devils? And you would sign an autograph or whatever. But he said it was wasn't as much as he thought it was definitely going to be.
Yeah. I have a quick story. Taylor was, this was before I was on the Oilers beat or anything like that. I was at a movie in West Edmonton Mall, and I had gone to the washroom and was washing my hands, and I could see Taylor walked in. I'm like, okay, Taylor Hall's here watching the movie. And as I was washing my hands, Taylor Hall was using the urinal, and the guy in the next urinal said, Taylor Hall. Like, and I just, yeah, was like, oh, exactly. Man, like, what do you do? You can't shake precisely hands in that situation.
Precisely my example is like, can you not at least just wait until he's done his private business before you say hi? Like, it was stuff like that all the time, Reed. And it was like, it's just some people don't have that sense of personal boundary and can't like read, you know, social situations. And, you know, every now and then Taylor would not be happy about that, right? And
right.
It's like, oh, I met Taylor. He's a, you know, he's a bad guy or whatever. He didn't have any time for me. Well, did you ask him for his autograph while he was going to the bathroom?
Could be an interesting way to sign it, I guess. But
For the most part, I had great interactions with a lot of people. But like I said, there's a couple here and there that maybe aren't the best situations.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Do you want to do a pick? I'm picking the Panthers again because I picked them in every series. Do you want to do a pick, or do you just want to hope both teams have fun?
No, I'm going to go on the Panthers with you.
Okay.
My head says Vegas. Vegas is the better team. They're deeper. They're, I don't want to say better coached, but they're just, their system is so hard to play against. But my heart says Florida, and I love good storylines and kind of Cinderella stories. So I like the Panthers too.
All right. Well, Luke, this is going to be your final appearance of the season. You've been a regular all season long here on Inside Sports. I certainly appreciate our relationship. I love what you bring to the show. So thank you very much for that, man. And I hope you're back next year.
Yeah, me too, Reed. I've had a blast doing this and getting to talk Oilers hockey with you. So thanks for having me on as a regular guest this year. And like you said, hopefully back next year.
Right on, Luke. That is Luke Gazdick, presented by Avalon Foundation Repair, Western Canada's leading basement waterproofing company for over 50 years, home of the lifetime warranty. Great perspective and stories from Luke all season long here on Inside Sports.
You're listening to 630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins.
That's the name of the show, everybody. How are you doing tonight? 780-496-0063. Kellen, what do we have coming in?
Oh, more recommendations, but also got an unknown text coming in that says, does Super Dave Osborne count as sports TV?
Yes. Yes. That's,
love that
that's
show.
Excellent.
Love Super
that's
Dave.
That's a good one.
Yes, that's a classic for sure. Matt the Plumber says, got to check out Long Shot Distillery at Winfield, west of Otasquin.
Oh.
It's a really cool spot in the bush near Twin Lakes. Really good vodka, gin, and other liqueurs and cocktails.
Oh, so interesting. Okay, thanks for that.
And then we have a vote from an unknown text number from Ribstone Creek Brewing out in Edgerton.
Oh, yeah, Ribstone is good. Yeah, they have good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What else we got here? We got a recommendation from an unknown text. It says, Next Five Brewing, it's opening up in Devon, Alberta this month, and he says that the owner's name is also Kellen. Hey, right on. Cool.
Next Five?
Next Five Brewing.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. Well, we asked your favorite Alberta-based craft brewery, since Alley Cat's going to be served at exclusively at Riverhawks games this summer. We'll have a Riverhawks player on the show a little bit later on. We're not going to ask about the beer. We're going to ask about the team. And we are taking your sports television show recommendations as well, your thoughts on Ted Lasso, which I guess wrapped up last night. Good chat there with Luke Gazdick about life on and off the ice in the National Hockey League. He's always good for that type of perspective. All right, news and weather coming up. Then we got Phil Bork on Inside Sports.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.